It's Friday night. It's now just gone 11 o'clock. Time for World on Three with Marianne Kennedy.
Thanks, John, and much to get excited about tonight. The studio already resonating, as you heard just a few minutes ago, with the sound check overtones of our Tuvan throat singers, Alish, warming up in the studio, and with an album for the month of May picked out for us by none other than Andy Kershaw, whose choice will take us by way of the new generation of Saharan rockers, plus a 70s blues bonus going back to the inspiration that took him on his musical path way back. All the more appropriate to start out then with a salute to the blues boy of Beale Street, undisputed king of the blues, the man who said, "I'm trying to get people to see that we are our brother's keeper, red, white, black, brown or yellow, rich or poor, we all have the blues." B.B. King and his trusty Gibson guitar, Lucille. The big band flavours that were such a part of B.B. King's sound here. B.B. King, who's died at the age of 89, and Andy Kershaw will be paying tribute later on. Now, I've heard wonderful things of our studio guest tonight, with great reports from last night's concert with throat singers Alash in Bradford. If you heard them, you could tweet us at BBC Radio 3 with the World on 3 hashtag. So the session, anyway, will be a don't miss, and they'll also be bringing their heritage track that has, likewise, a blues connection via a remarkable story concerning their own musical guru. And our archive track takes us to Nova Scotia. And since we're in the realms of vintage, let's start out with that fine, rich, mature Cornish blend, Fisherman's Friends, the choral collective and lifetime circle of friends who embrace the Cornish philosophy of one and all wholeheartedly, and whose singing reflects the same. This is from their brand new album, released today, A Right Proper Job, as the title suggests, much more rootsy and the finer for it, and a warning here of the dangers of going out in the skite down by the harbour in times past.
We got drunk in Dublin City,
hold down me Billy.
Oh, we got drunk and more's a pity,
hold down Billy O'Shea. Hold down, fall down, fall down me Billy. We're bound away for America.
Fall down, Billy O'Shea.
ourselves down on the quay.
Fall down, me Billy.
And when we woke, we were out to sea.
Fall down, Billy O'Shea. Fall down, fall down, fall down, me Billy. We're bound away for America. Fall down, Billy O'Shea.
We are no sailors, Captain dear.
Fall down, me Billy.
And we're unhappy to reef and steer.
Fall down, Billy O'Shea. Fall down, fall down, fall down, me Billy. We're bound away for America. Fall down, Billy O'Shea.
Said I got a cure for that.
Fall down, me Billy.
And for a start, there's a dose of the cat.
Fall down, Billy O'Shea. Fall down, fall down, fall down, me Billy. We're bound away for America. Fall down, Billy O'Shea.
He'd send him up the topmast yard.
Fall down, me Billy.
And when he hit the deck, he took it hard.
Fall down, Billy O'Shea. Fall down, fall down.
Sail.
Farewell, me Billy.
Unload him gently down on a rail.
Farewell, Billy O'Shea. Farewell, 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 me Billy. We're bound away for America. Farewell, Billy O'Shea.
Over the side and down he goes.
Farewell, me Billy.
To Davy Jones with a stitch through his nose.
Farewell, Billy O'Shea. Farewell, 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 me Billy.
Web!
Bound away for America. Farewell, Billy O'Shea. Fall down, fall down, fall down, me Billy. We're bound away for America. Fall down, Billy O'Shea.
The press gang and no happy ending at work for Billy O'Shea and his mates. A shanty, I think, that hails from 60s Dublin and sung there by Port Isaac's Fisherman's Friends on their new album, Proper Job, named in honour of a tie-up with one of the local breweries, the beer being, of course, another of Cornwall's finest exports. Oh, yes. The lads will tell you, as they told me, that the further down the A30 you get, the less English, the more Cornish, the more Celtic the world becomes. So it's really good to see another release from Firth of Tamar, featuring the Cornish language. Sam Kelly and Tanya Britton are the Changing Room, and to mark their visit to the Lorient Festival Interceltique in Brittany this summer, they've released an EP of Cornish versions of three of their own original songs. Amongst them this one, A River Runs Between, a kind of both sides the track song for the little fishing town of Loo.
Guns and Lanoa, Hosin Hagen, Trahin Porth, and Rose O'Then with a Haze. Andreoth and Leoborth, Agonan a Borth, Hagen Redded or a Haze. Warn Kaithes a Higans, he and Stelling Dorn, Ni Wellis with Tector Sombe. War in land west of me or the nest, hagen treddon door a ver. Pan in the vor in le guatri gistol, in the putra janges gans felians and frost, to treth you ginet vet alta is den in me zanser virgtin i rug lor en ros. Ragen treddon guns grow on it to thens the seven and ponds. Defence na'r agwelsyns o creif yn dregans yn archans i benyn dan hôl ac yn treddod o'r sef. Pan e'n ddefor yn le gwaith trig i sôl drag enredor d'o'r leis A le mynd ma trol erach yn est bys yn west A mwy ystwyo i'n cadeg Mae sôs wedi dy gas a dy berth yn ddiw dreig Ag yn dreddad o'r ffreig Ag yn dreddad o'r ffreig
Smeifi hig yn glir nhw yn agelir Chawr ys gyrfa yn rwyd bosa Ach fardys gyrkil fyr yn magna Na bach yn yn ddicach o monta Fi cael un das o gyr yn falilam Fi si agwyn ach lap yn tocora Ach dan perlin a cwrs ys yn hatyr he Chi ap ys gyrf si gymont ys bosa Dy barlam na bach yn e barlam na bach yn yn posa Tre hog me gan eldach gan arigat ys rada Ta gymonta Nina Fali se froste kan khalin vi shashir e malu nu roka Brish kan ma hat at der khilis go rather go monka To khwas la sa ko kokui Hagus rogus go thought on them foka Ma how is good and so the young kami ma Na beher in voka mon to spose the banam na bakine banam na bakine posa Che rog me kan er to kan arigat is rather to komonta Shalad the seed of Asha County void it on Malan and meet in the Malapelin. This has been a bugging not smaller. I'm with a ship here to sheet it a deed of good as she is from your lash. Hard to get in the car, there's a new Venus is gagging in a gay fossa. The Yadafish does, the Yadafish does, the Yadafish does, and Nora. The Yadafish does, so long it ain't thought on Hammer and Fog. She's got no shoes, she's wrong. She got the feeling of being the right. She's done love to teach me and to your teach. The Yadafish does, the Yadafish does, the Yadafish does, the Nora. The Yadafish does, so long it ain't thought, and now that it's thought to fall. The Yadafish does, the Yadafish does, the Yadafish does.
The Ringgaeltacht by way of West Kerry, two of the song-rich parts of Gaelic Ireland, represented by Danu, the veteran Waterford outfit, once an all-male affair, but led these days, of course, by the lovely Muireann Ní Gaoilge, much of whose singing and songs are Kerry-influenced, but who also had the great good fortune to have an island upbringing in Galway's Inishere and Cape Clear Island off the Cork coast, both Gaeltacht strongholds themselves. And that was from their new album, Buon Eternal. Before that, Morrigan Palmer Brown's harp, adding to the Changing Rooms Cornish version, translated by oceanographer and Cornish language champion Ken George of their River Runs Between, Entredador a Res, and it appears in the original English on their concurrent album release, Behind the Lace. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on Three. Also coming up tonight, we have the duo Montparnasse from BBC Introducing, and our World Music Archive treasure comes from Nova Scotia. Our Tuvan guests coming up very shortly with the first of tonight's live music here in the studio. Alash will be performing that amazing style of overtone music that we know as throat singing, and it'll be rather exciting to see and hear it up close and personal. But first, to another landlocked state, Uzbekistan, and the singer Naziba, who I suppose is following in the steps of other artists like Savara Nazarkhan in being essentially a pop star on her home turf. This new album, out on Blue Flame, reflects the country's neighbouring influences as much as native Uzbek traditions, Tajikistan, Azerbaijan, Iran, and just a little further afield in the opening track with a Turkish folk song, Evlerinin Lambalari Yanior. I see light in your window and I know you are there. Everyone thinks I'm crazy, but it's because I love you.
ভিতরে গহন অন্ধকারে কেমন লুকাইলা কেমন লুকাইলা তুমি মুস্কি মুস্কি হাসো কাছে এসে বসো এতদিন
some spectacular singing there of the esoteric devotional poetry of the Muslim Murshidi, or spiritual guides, by Araz Ali there. And that comes from one of the last recordings ever made by the great Bengali musicologist and producer Deben Bhattacharya before his death in Paris back in 2001. Those recordings now feature on a new release of Murshidi and Sufi songs from Bangladesh, and they're out on ARC Records. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, live from Broadcasting House in London, where we're all set now for the first songs from our session guests tonight, who are Alash, a trio of master throat singers from the tiny Central Asian Republic of Tuva. This amazing form of singing must surely be their greatest export, and we're delighted to welcome Alash, currently on a short UK tour, although in truth it's the final length of a final part of a 10-week tour that's taken them to the States, and they're feeling that like they've been away a long time. They're making ready to be home, so I think we're going to get the last great flourish from them tonight. They take their name, Alash, from the name that of the river that runs through the northwest of the country, and that in itself has inspired songs. They take their music from the community they grew up in, honed through basement rehearsals at music college, and blended with Western influences such as Sun Ra and Jimi Hendrix, although tonight's set, I believe, is fairly stripped back and rootsy. And they're going to start out with a song about, well, if they were gales, it would be Adi Saudi, the summer pastures. Tuvan herders move with their animals according to the season. Winter is cold, summer is very hot. And so in summer, the animals are taken high up into the mountains where it's much cooler, where they can rest and restore themselves after a long winter. This is Odarladip Semertili.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How special is that? The Tuvan Trio, Alash, playing live for us here on World on Three. And I'm joined here by their manager, Sean Quick, who's going to be translating for the lads. And Sean, you were explaining to me that a livestock, in terms of the animals they'd be taking up to the high pasture, as described in that song, it's not just cattle and sheep and the usual. It's huge variety.
Yeah, depending on what part of Tuva you're in, it's only about the size of England and Wales put together, but in this relatively small geographical area, we have, in addition to goats, sheep, horses, and cows in the west, we have yaks. In the south, down near the Mongolian border, people herd camels traditionally. And in the northeast, there's an area called Toju, where people herd reindeer. So in Tuva, we would say Tosjuzu Malam, which means the nine different kinds of animals traditionally herded by Tuvans.
Now, it's such an evocative sound. It's just beautiful. We're going to find out a little bit more about that through yourself. But first of all, would you introduce us to the band?
Yes, this afternoon, this evening, we are joined by Ayanol Sam, Badi Dorju Ondar, and Ayan Shirajik. All of them are award-winning top-flight musicians of Tuva.
And if people check out the Twitter feed at BBC Radio 3, you'll be able to see some of the pictures of the amazing instruments that they have there. There's a Western guitar, but everything else is Tuvan. And of course, signifying how important animals are in the overall culture, there's the horse heads in the instruments. Would you just describe a little bit about the what's accompanying the songs?
Yes, in addition to the Western guitar, we heard a flute called a shor, which is a very special flute. Some people might consider it similar to a Persian or Turkish ney, for instance. It just doesn't have the little flange on top. It's a very common flute found throughout Central Asia. And then the bowed instrument that you heard is one that's very close to the heart of the Tuvan people. As you mentioned, it's got a horse's head carved on the top of this. It signifies the unity between people and horses that exist in Tuva. It's very hard to be a nomad without horses, and Tuvan people value horses very greatly. There's a great legend that tells of the story of an orphan boy who rescues this horse from death, and eventually they win all these horse races. The horse gets killed in a tragic way, but the spirit of the horse comes back to the boy and teaches him to make the instrument using actually parts, hair from the mane and skin from the horse, so actually physically using parts of the horse to make the instrument and thereby incarnating the spirit of the horse into the instrument. So it's a very meaningful instrument for Tuvan people, and one that, although simple when you look at it, it's only got two strings, it is capable of amazing range of musical expression.
And of course, that most amazing thing of all, the singing, the very bassy sound with those amazing whistling overtones. Can you explain how it happens? Because you speak, I'm told, very, very excellent Tuvan. You've been over there for 10 years and you've studied that as well. So you know what it is to come from not doing it to doing it. So you must understand something of the process.
Yes, it's been my privilege to be the only foreign-born member of the Tuvan National Orchestra since 2004. And so I've had the opportunity to learn from Alash and other members of the National Orchestra and many legends of Tuvan music. So I've learned a lot about it, and I will tell you that there is a great variety of styles. There's a massive range for musical expression and subtlety within them. Musicians themselves don't really parse out how many different styles or necessarily what they're called. That's something that musicologists spend their time with. But you will hear throughout this program a very very large number of different ways of producing multiple notes at the same time, which we call in English overtone singing or throat singing. Of course, the unfortunate thing about that is it tends to group this music into a whole lot of disparate traditions that aren't necessarily doing the same thing. For instance, there's women from South Africa, women from far, far North America that also practice traditions that emphasize the use of overtones. In Tuvan, however, as you're hearing, this is a whole different animal. And basically, in a very, very short way, how you do it is due to the nature of sound. Sound, whenever you produce a musical sound, there are actually lots of notes there. But the Tuvan musicians know how to squeeze their throats in the right way, how to create the right conditions to subtract the sounds that they don't want and to emphasize the sounds that they do.
Well, We must hear it again in action. Would you tell me about the next song, please?
The next song is one that gives us a little bit of the poetry of the Tuvan language. Being a nomadic people, the life of Tuva is intimately connected with landscape and place. When you speak Tuvan, you learn that places in nature are referred to anthropomorphically. For instance, mountains have heads, they have hems of their dresses, hearts, etc. And this song speaks about two rivers whose courses go in parallel. And the poet who wrote the song speaks of these two rivers as two sisters walking hand in hand. And the grasses and the grains that grow on the banks of the rivers and wave in the wind are like the embroidered ornaments of the flowing dresses of the two sister rivers called Kojoy and Torgalık.
Helen, love.
Exquisite. Thanks a million to Alash. They're back a little later on here on World on 3, and they'll also be introducing their heritage track, which this week is in tribute to the man they regard as their musical father. It's really busy on Twitter tonight as well. It's lovely to see so many of you favouriting and retweeting, especially the mentions of Alash on the programme. Gareth Jones is tweeting, sending his messages, talking about the stuff that he's particularly enjoying, the Cornish, and of course our Tuven guests. So yeah, get writing to us as well as passing the message to all your friends. And remember too that you'll be able to download the whole session as a podcast from the Radio 3 website from next Monday. You're listening to Mary Ann Kennedy on BBC Radio 3, and earlier on today I met up with the iconic veteran broadcaster and journalist Andy Kershaw, who selected our album for the month of May. He's a busy man and joined us fresh from recording a series of features for The One Show, but he was in great form indeed, and happy to say so.
Very well, thanks, Marianne. Thanks very much for having me on. Yes, it was a fairly easy choice, this month's album of
it's,
the month.
It surprised me not. It would seem to be an album that embraces both your passions, the musical side and the journalistic side, to
some
extent.
Well, it's Africa, it's blues, and it's also outright rock and roll as well. So you can't really go wrong, can you? And it's another wonderful album from musicians of the Sahara. In this case, the group Terra Kaft, whose name translates in Tamashek as Caravan. And it's the fifth studio album from them. I only picked up on them relatively recently. And two of the members are refugees, if you like, from, I suppose, the best known of all the Saharan bands, Tina Owen. The rhythm guitar player, Leah Ag Ablil, who's also known as Jarrah. He was a guitar player with Tina Owen. And then there's his nephew in this group, Sanu, he's called, and he plays some wonderful lead guitar. And there isn't a bad track on this new album at all. It's called Tenere, which again in Tamashek means alone, which I suppose is a fairly readily available situation to find yourself in the Sahara.
Well, let's get more into the sort of backstory and get more into it after. Let's set the sounds.
There's a quality about this that immediately grabbed me, and Tina Owen have got it as well. You know, and I remember years and years ago reading, and I thought, I agree, absolutely, 100%, reading Keith Richards say once that lots and lots of bands know how to rock, very few bands know how to roll. In fact, the Rolling Stones are a band who certainly know how to roll, and Keith Richards' guitar playing is a great part of that. I refer you to Tumbling Dice, for example. But Tina Owen and their offshoot here now, Terra Kaft, have got that wonderful quality of knowing how to roll, and the guitar playing on this is just unbelievable. This is My Heart Suffers.
Ullin Asnin from Terracaft's new album Alone, Andy Kershaw's choice for our album of the month. And as you mentioned, the two main guys, uncle and nephew.
Yeah.
And
Jarrah is uncle to Samu, yeah.
Can you say that in some ways about the relationship between Tinari Wen and Terracaft? It's sort of generations moving on?
I suppose they're all really one big family, and with the sort of shifting, ever-changing lineups and memberships, it is the sort of the Fairport Convention of the Sahara, I think. And we should say as well, two French guys on bass and drums now in Terracaft. And Justin Adams, the producer of it. I was interested in what you were saying while it was playing as well, Marianne, about... Go on, you explain about this.
Well, what really draws me, and I think draws a lot of people, is that this kind of... There's such simplicity, as you said yourself, about the music when we were listening
it's
to it.
It's simpler than Tinari Wen's, yeah.
But the bass lines are incessant but compelling, and sometimes I wish that we could get musicians over here to listen to that and just say, that's all you need to work with, and then make it all blossom from that.
So, something very interesting about that track particularly, I've noticed since I got the advanced copy about 2 months ago, and it's one of those little tests I like to perform from time to time. When people call round to my place, and like we're in the kitchen and I've got a sound system in there, I've been slipping it on, especially that track, to people to just put on in the background in the presence of people who, you know, are not North African music aficionados or experts. And it's amazing. It's got that quality. This album's got that quality, or their music's got that quality. Rather like Tinari Wen's had, and before that, Ali Farkatouri's, to have an appeal to people who are beyond the normal circles of African music aficionados. I don't know what that quality is. It's almost indefinable, which gives it that appeal. If I did know what it was, I'd probably be running a very successful record company and not have to come onto your programme
On one level, I'm very glad that you have to come in and do this. There you go. But if you have the chance to go a bit deeper into the music and you look at the words and stuff, certainly Tinari Wen's last album, there's a real poetic beauty to the words of the songs when you've got people that help you to get some level of understanding. And it would seem that this particular album, Terracaft, that they're a band who have this almost relentless positivity despite the situation that they live in, that good can come out yet. But it would seem that this is a kind of maintaining sanity album this time, rather than being outright hope in some ways.
And an awful lot of songs about camels and looking for water and sand, which I suppose is entirely understandable as they come from the Sahara.
So, Aminidine Senta Aneflas. Tell us what that's about.
Yes, and the lyrics translate, "My friend, in whom I trust, he's in the mountain with his camel. 4 days he has been ready. He walks in a wadi. The camel is well-trained and nicely decorated."
Ah! الناس يواس يتفدى هرم انت يفلاس
ميديني سلطان فلاس
See, Andy, I always thought that the cow was the ultimate representation of the perfect relationship between animal and humankind, but now I'm going to have to include camels as honorary cattle. Thank you so much. Our album for the month of May, Alone, is out this week on Out Here Records, and it was the choice of Andy Kershaw.
And it's by Terracaft from the Sahara.
Indeed. And as you can patently here, he's still with me because he's not done yet. He's brought something rather special as an added bonus, but with the news as well of B.B. King's passing today, it's kind of a synchronicity that you've brought with you a track you were going to play anyway, from a band who were so much part of introducing great blues artists to the UK, and actually, ironically, were also probably instrumental in bringing this guy to live American audiences when they went on tour.
One of the main achievements of the Rolling Stones, to whom you refer, was to make Americans aware of their own music, their own black music, blues and rhythm and blues. And yeah, B.B. King was one of those. He was also cited as a huge inspiration by Jimi Hendrix as well, and many others. Yeah, but it's very sad, but it's been expected for some time. He's had a long illness, poor bugger.
What does he represent in the musical pantheon for you?
He was one of those people who, along with Rory Gallagher, Bob Dylan, because so much of Bob Dylan's mid-60s music was blues-based, who pointed me off towards the blues and a lifelong relationship with it and an appetite for it. And B.B. King, I suppose I must have been about 15 when I got into B.B. King, and not long after that, well, I ran away from university on my very first day there at Leeds in October 78 to go and see him, and I mean it too. I turned up there, signed on, registered to let the politics department know I'd managed to show up. Then I'd nipped over to the Students' Union, joined the entertainments organisation that put the concerts on, and then because I bought the ticket for B.B. King at the Free Trade Hall in Manchester a couple of weeks before, as soon as I'd done all that, if I had any lectures that afternoon on the first day, Marianne, I didn't attend them. I ran back down to Leeds City Station and jumped on that westbound train to go and see the King of the Blues at the Free Trade Hall.
The pattern was set.
For the rest of my academic career, for the next 3 years, yeah. And he was tremendous. In those days, he had a considerable group. It was like an orchestra almost. He even had a conductor back then, a fella called Milton. What was his second name? And what you got was a mixture of big band swing with BB fronting it, with Lucille, his favoured black Gibson, worn way up on his chest, firing off the blues lick, standing in front of the big band. It was tremendous. And he played a significant role in two major events in my life, both of which were life-changing. Well, there was that one at Leeds in 1978, and the other one was, I wouldn't have done anything that I've done for the last 30 years had it not been for B.B. King or going to a B.B. King concert. Billy Bragg, when I was working with Billy, rang me up in the early months of 1984 and said, "Yeah, Kirsch, I've been given 2 free tickets to see B.B. King at the Hammersmith Odeon. Would you like to come along?" I said, "Sure, Billy, thanks very much." And he'd been on the whistle test. He'd made his first appearance on the whistle test only the week before, and I'd taken him along to do that and got chatting to the producer, you see, this fella called Trevor Down. Anyway, just before B.B. King takes to the stage, we're there in about the third row, and the empty seat next to mine at the last minute, there's a lot of shuffling going along on the out, excuse me, is taken by Trevor Down, the producer of the whistle test from the previous week. At the end of the gig, he said, "Have you got the car? Either of you need a lift home?" I said, "Well, that'd be very kind." He said, "Oh, I'm going your way. I'll drop you off at the Jenners in Maidervale." Just before we got there, at the top of Scrubs Lane, he pulls into a bus lay-by and just staring through the windscreen without looking at me. The next thing is I heard Trevor say, "I wonder whether you've ever fancied being on television." And I said, "Well, that never not occurred to me, Trevor." "Why?" He said, "Well, I'd like you to be one of the presenters of the next series of Whistle Test." And that was it. That's how it happened. Wow. And it was B.B. King was to blame, you see.
Well, we played at the very top of the show, Blues at Sunrise, which was kind of B.B. King's big break song. Yeah. He played it for Sonny Boy Williamson. So that's another perfect synchronicity. What have you picked?
Well, the album that really turned me on to B.B. King when I was about 15, because it was just for raw excitement. And for those pure ringing blues licks that he fires off on this, and the zeal of the crowd as well. It's Live at the Regal, recorded in Chicago in 1964, and well, we'll let the MC do his job, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, how about a nice warm round of applause to welcome the world's greatest blues singer, the King of the Blues, B.B. King.
B.B. King live at the Regal,
fantastic.
Absolutely phenomenal. And you can really hear that big band thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Horns and the lot, even when I was seeing him in the late 70s, early 80s, yeah.
And the bonus track that you brought along for us tonight, as I said, hugely appropriate following on from B.B. King. And it also makes another connection going back, as you said, to Leeds Uni.
Well, you know, I was lucky enough to find myself booking all those bands and running all those concerts in the early 1980s at Leeds, because I got involved in that student union organisation. And Leeds, by the time I arrived, was the biggest college venue in the country and a major venue, full stop. What had really established that were the students who ran the gigs and trailblazed those concerts 10 years before I got there.
Was there still a connection with that previous generation of students?
Well, the knowledge and the professionalism about running those concerts was simply passed from one generation down to, you know, what is. You join, and I joined as a novice, and within a year and a half, I was running the whole thing as a benign dictatorship. But those who'd done it 10 years before I got there had really established Leeds University Refectory, because that's what it was. It was the dining hall, which the Students' Union hired from the university. They'd established it as a major venue, really, with two concerts. The first was when The Who played in there on Valentine's Day in 1970 and recorded what became Live at Leeds. But then every major group wanted to play at Leeds University. And on March the 13th, 1971, as one of only 8 dates they played around the UK on that tour, for what was to be, Marianne, their farewell tour, the Rolling Stones played in there, which was astonishing, really, because it was just 2,000 capacity. And it, you know, it was one of the things that made me want to go to Leeds University. The main thing, they had gigs of that calibre. And I became aware of the Stones concert being available on bootleg in the late 70s. I got it, and I used to think to myself, this is a far superior live album than the official live album of the time, which was late 60s, early 70s, Get Your Ya-Ya's Out. And I always thought that the high point on the recording was their version of Robert Johnson's Love in Vain. I mean, the whole gig's really good. And I even said, you know, it's almost like a premonition. In my autobiography, which I wrote in 2010, No Off Switch, talking about this album and the Stones gig there, if Keith Richards or Mick Jagger is reading this, it's high time you released Live at Leeds University. Blow me, I found out a couple of weeks ago that they're going to do a super deluxe, ultra-executive box set reissue of Sticky Fingers, the album from 71. And in that, you've got to pay £72 to get this particular edition, but Muggins here will buy one. Just with that particular edition of the Sticky Fingers reissue, they're releasing Live at Leeds University. I was so obsessed with this gig. When I was there 10 years after the event, I went to the archive of the student newspapers in the library at Leeds. Oh, and the archive of the Yorkshire Post. And in the Yorkshire Post, I found a review of the concert and the feature, the reporter had been like wandering around backstage as well. The live music industry was very different then. It was much more informal. When he went backstage, he described the spread that was laid out for the Stones as salads and, you know, meats and cheese and stuff like that. And he said, he noted, and bottles of Liebfrau milch on the table. Because, of course, at the time, in 1971, there were only two kinds of wine that you could get in the UK. You could get Matthias Rosé or blue non-Liebfrau milch. Anyway, the Stones were there having Liebfrau milch. Just listen out for two things here.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Listen out for two. I think their version of Robert Johnson's Love in Vain, live at Leeds University, 1971, I think this is Mick Jagger's finest recorded vocal performance, and the guitar intervention of Mick Taylor is just sublime.
Followed her to the station, yeah, with a suitcase in my hand. Yeah, I followed her up to the station. Suitcase in my hand. Yes, and it's hard to tell, it's hard to tell. when the train come in the station.
A lot of love.
The Rolling Stones take on Robert Johnson's Love in Vain from that legendary Leeds Uni Refectory gig. Andy Kershaw's inspiration for heading for the uni himself, going on to organise the gigs there, and the rest is history. The gig is at long last, as he said, going to be officially released as part of the Stones' deluxe reissue of their Sticky Fingers album, and that's out on Universal Music on June the 8th. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, and we're not surprisingly, given their Guitar Hero tastes. I've been watching our session guests listen approvingly to Andy's equivalent of his heritage track, I suppose. So it's the perfect point to ask them to introduce Alash's heritage track for this evening. A song or a piece of music from our session guests that means something special to them from their own background, upbringing, influences, inspirations. And tonight, for Alash, this track might just be a wee bit of all of the above. And Baddy and Sean, I did see when the Stones track was going out there, the ears pricked up straight away. And I know that they were paying attention to the news about BB this morning as well.
Yeah, but Slarne was a book in BB King to find and not one that my Billy Tribus Dame Jab as all blues to the Nalair, as Slarne was as Karakwap and just in BB King, the Nakwan Bosler.
Yeah, Dame Hantanado, Celebrity Nesting was a Celle Luko Jimju. He didn't nest was a Celle Talk, a staring girl, learning a Celle Hosmuler, Celle was a Casital
Stars. So We've like to join the world in expressing our sadness at the loss of such a great musician who's meant so much to so many people in the world. We recognize and appreciate the great contributions that he's done, and so we'd like to join everywhere in the world tonight in expressing our sadness at the loss of such a fine musician.
And you've brought a very special piece of music with an extraordinary story behind it from a man who in your own homeland has made an extraordinary contribution. Tell me about the Genghis Blues story, but also the man behind who also, I suppose, is your musical father.
And you were slending book and kagging hugging her was a duck son, pass a tug of the cogsum bop, palpain, and basin the gistra slending washing her basin the gistra and jangling all on the plastic to wind the tiber lapir and bossing as a
constant.
All the kilgan the rusting and bashka with the folding asla. I'm to get all Genishi the artist.
All Genishi the on the gillum pisting jelly bo hugsumje. Two hugsumes and asle bamdralda was a jelly achos, holder jelly pistimo baskos. Was a standing jelly kizip,
So the reason that we've picked this track is because our teacher, Conger Roll, we see him as our musical father. He's the one who opened the road of music and set our feet on that path. So we chose that for that reason. The influence has been great in our musical lives.
I should say it's a real challenge in live radio to have translation going on, but we really want to hear this particular story coming from Baddy because it is your heritage track.
So
tell us about the relationship between your guru and Paul Pena.
And the basket of holding deskendo wine which have lapper and was holding and the nan was a solid token.
All their bister Genghis Blues the third was upstair the Jen was a school.
So we were little kids when they were filming Genghis Blues. We were in school.
And at
that time, we had already heard blues. That's the first time that we heard blues when Paul came.
So for us as young folks, it was really amazing music, very interesting thing to listen to.
Сыры харзасы деп болду эле ажылдап жараны ажылын болсо биздер үнөлөп күндөлөп жерле канчалдыр отон жүзүнгө эйдир болсо башынын болсо болдунду айында жерле жугаалып төлөп жарын канды көгүзүмчү турган канчалдыр жөлөп жараны.
And then from then on we would hear from Congerol about his work with Paul and what a great musician he was and what that meant, and as students at the music school we found that this was a great introduction for us about the life of musician and about the possibilities of music.
Yeah, Bundan jeleri ozan boldum bazı on bunda bit bir albümlerini azatınlar.
And that got us interested into where Paul came from, and we listened to Paul's earlier albums, and that got us interested in a broader world of music.
So what we're going to hear now is Conderall and Paul Pena, essentially a Delta blues musician,
yeah,
who heard throat singing, Tuvan singing over in the States, learned it himself in isolation, and ultimately made that big journey that yourself has made, Sean, and came over to Tuva and became almost an honorary Tuvan. And we're going to hear the two of them working side by side, I think, in this track.
Yeah, it means a whole lot to us because it's one of the first forays into international musical collaboration, which is a tradition that Alash is now proudly continuing into the future 20 years later.
And again, another track that seals that relationship between the humans and their livestock. This is the Good Horses. Fantastic stuff. Conderall Ondar and Paul Pena and Eki Attar from the album of their epic culture crossing story, the Genghis Blues album, the heritage track choice of our session guests tonight. Tuvan musicians and throat singers and students of Conderall, Alash, currently on the final leg of an enormous tour just now. And having heard from the man they regard as their musical father, they're going to carry on with their own music now. And this song compares the singer's throat to the sounds of the cuckoo and the ediski, a traditional hunting call made by using a piece of folding bark. This is My Throat, the Cuckoo. Grin as they just stop there just before, just to make sure that we're going to catch us out. Alash in session for us here on World on Three, and the Twitter sphere is on fire with this. Who needs the BBC Radiophonic Workshop when you've got sounds like that coming from the human body alone? Sean Quirk, who's their manager and here translating for them tonight. As I said, it's the end of an enormous 10-week tour that's taken you over to the States. It was a very strange sort of core to this tour that actually made it all possible. A combination that in my head seems a bit weird, but actually turned out to be a blessing for you.
Yes, we had the opportunity to play at a festival for a month in Dollywood, down in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
As in Miss Parton.
Yes, as in Miss Parton, bringing this music to 20,000 Americans who probably never, ever would have set foot into a Tuvan concert. And once you tell them that what they're listening to is country music, just from a different country, then all of a sudden you find you have gained a lot of converts. So yes, it was a very interesting and wonderful experience to bring that to Tennessee.
And did you meet Dolly?
We did indeed meet Dolly, yes.
Wow.
Within the space of a year, we've actually met the two most famous Dollies in the world. We met Dolly Parton this tour, and the tour beforehand, we had the opportunity to play for His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. So,
boom-tish.
Yes, boom-tish.
Fantastic. But now I'm sure you're ready to be heading home to a place, as we've said, where it's a nomadic people, the livestock, the big open spaces are really important. And yet where these guys met was music college, where basements and rehearsals would seem like a very strange place to be creating music that belongs to the big open outside.
Well, Tuva is a place where the ancient and the modern exist hand in hand. We like to joke that even though in Tuva you still have people living in yurts and living in the nomadic way, we have cities and we have cars and we have people who are nearly hit by those cars when they're crossing the streets looking at Facebook on their iPhones. So it's a mix, and Alash really sort of encapsulates that mix because they did go to school in the capital city of Tuva, and at the same time as they were seeking to deepen the roots of the music and understand the hold that the music of the ancestors has on them and to make sure they don't lose that, they're also members of their generation and hearing a lot of other music. As Body told us, their interest in the blues coming from Paul Pena, listening to Jimi Hendrix, listening to other musicians, and they've allowed that to subtly play into their music, into the way they make arrangements in order to sort of grow the branches of that tree out towards
so
the future.
So if we were going to be listening out for elements of that, where would we see the Western influence coming into play?
Well, that's a thing that people like to look for a lot, and it's very subtle, which is one of the beautiful things about the way they do it, because they don't just take random things and sort of sic them together. It's organic. In this last song, for instance, you would not hear traditionally in Tuvan music 50 years ago that division of parts where you've got one, the sagut, the high part going very high and the low part going very low, and modulation of keys. So there's stuff, it's there to be listened to, but you have to know what it is you're listening to in the first place to be able to suss out that influence.
Well, we're going to have one more song, and again from another aspect of tradition, and as a man with an Irish heritage himself, there is a great tradition in the Irish language of wordplay and word sparring, and so I'm sure you take great pleasure in introducing this last song.
Yes, this is a song called Bastak Ladesh Meni Ganjar, which means, what are you going to do with me for joking? It begins and ends with a traditional Tuvan word game or competition of Durgen Juga, which means talking fast, which I think Irish and many Celtic people can very much appreciate. And it's a song that sings about, what are you going to do with me for joking? You could hit me on the head with a stick and I won't stop joking. So just put down the stick and listen to the music. And the theme goes on and on with music and singing, etc. So it's a song about love for music and love for having fun. Bashtak, the Joker.
Sean and Alash, thank you so much for coming in to play for us tonight.
Thank you. Do
Alash, officially the best fun it's possible to have on the BBC after midnight. Thanks so much again to the lads, our session guests. Remember, it's entirely possible to enjoy that all over again, and you must frequently. And you can do that by downloading the session podcast from the Radio 3 website. Our corner of the website yields up many treasures, of course. All the details on the playlist, BBC Introducing, the Commonwealth Connections series, Celtic Connections. A person could get seriously lost in World on Three land for a very long time, and we highly recommend it. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on Three, and we're going to calm down now and return to these shores for this next new release on the venerable Topic record label. 76 years not out, I think. Their latest release comes from a real English folk power trio, Martin Simpson, Andy Cutting, and this year's Radio 2 Folk Singer of the Year, Nancy Kerr. The opener is a typically thoughtfully crafted Martin song, inspired by the first swallow of the year. I saw mine last week on Slapton Sands in Devon for Martin, the beauty of which is juxtaposed with his thoughts on the terrible tragedy that befell the D-Day rehearsals that were carried out 70 years ago, a German attack considered at the time so embarrassing that it was covered up officially for decades.
Sun on Slapton Lee, between the lagoon and the haunted sea, I was thinking of war and cruelty. When spring's first swallow split the sky, and I was lifted above all care as the swallow swung through the salted air. Come from savannah and desert and sea to mark another sailor's tattoo like a prayer on my arm to bring me home and safe from harm. Though rocks may melt and seas may burn, dark, swift and bright swallow shall always return. Bright swallow, sweet spirit of stockyard and barn, you lighten our days with all of your charm. Bring hope to the sailor upon the wide sea, mark another year for me. Scythe and scream through the city dusk, late to come and first to leave, but come they do and leave they must. Hot August nights their absence grieve, how we miss their impudent glee. This devil's bitch, this mystery, this sprite that sleeps upon the breeze and flies and feeds behind the storm. April sun on Slapton Lee, between the lagoon and the haunted sea, I was thinking of war and cruelty. When spring's first swallow split the sky, and I was lifted above all care as the
the swallows swung through the salted air, come from savannah and desert and sea, to mark another year for me. And for you, my love, and eternity. All the young fellas have gone to the factory to learn their new trade, making iron and steel. When they pick up their wages, they'll wonder however they managed on the money they made in the field. And it's all the young fellas have gone to the city. All the young fellas have gone to the town, where they'll be earning nearly double the money they ever earned at the harrow and plough.
And it's down in the valley, the sound of a tractor, young Billy Dickinson, he sits at the wheel. But this time next week he'll be in some odd foundry, casting the iron and rolling the steel.
And it's all the young fellas have gone to the city. All the young fellas have gone to the town, where they'll be earning nearly double the money they ever earned at the harrow and plough.
Down in the hedgerow, Billy Dowson is working, the blade of his sickle glints in the bright sun. But in less than an hour, he'll pack up his gear for his last day of working, the land will be done.
And it's all the young fellas have gone to the city. All the young fellas have gone to the town, where they'll be earning nearly double the money they ever earned at the harrow and plough. Well, you can't blame the young'uns for throwing the towel in. They'll be much better off making iron and steel. But the drift from the land, it will always continue, till the money gets better for the man in the field. And it's all the young fellas have gone to the city. All the young fellas have gone to the town, where they'll be earning nearly double the money they ever earned at the harrow and plough.
Well, I've heard this year's Folk Awards described on more than one occasion as the year the right winners came through, and that would certainly be true of the Young'uns, who scooped the Group of the Year awards this year. That was Drift from the Land from their new album Another Man's Ground by Graham Miles, a great documenter of the Teesside in song, my favourite of his being Waiting for the Ferry with Marianne, of course. Those awards celebrate the established and new arrivals, but BBC Music is about much more than that, and BBC Introducing is a great way of showcasing less well-known acts, and World on Three provides a window through Introducing for world and roots. Tonight it's the turn of French chanson from the West Midlands. Duo Montparnasse are Céline Domard and guitarist Chris Tolley, and one of Céline's cooler claims to fame is that she was born in the same Paris hospital as Edith Piaf, hence I'm sure the name of their debut EP at the beginning of the year, La Vie en Rose. This is Syracuse, their interpretation of one of the songs of French Guyanan singer Henri Salvador, who worked with the likes of Django Reinhardt and Quincy Jones. Et les grands
Babylone.
Duo Montparnasse and Syracuse. Tonight's World on 3, BBC introducing track. And if you or someone you know wants to make a submission, it couldn't be easier. Head for World on 3 on the Radio 3 website. Follow the links to the uploader where you can send us your music and one of the team here will definitely give it a listen. This is Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, and we've had a wonderful range of vintage tracks and influences running through tonight. So let's add to the mix with our selection for tonight from our unique and delicious Radio 3 World Music Archive. Tonight takes me back to a very special trip in 2011 to Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia, Canada, a place that obviously resonates for me with its Gaelic diaspora. But it's an island of many characters and identities, the First Nation, Mi'kmaq, and the French Acadians, whose music, language and culture cling on just like the other minority communities. And like them all, they also know how to party. And if the Gaels have their ceilidhe, the house ceilidhs, the Acadians have the kitchen party, exactly what the name suggests. Music, song, dance, food with family and friends, brilliant fun. And we were honoured to be invited to one in Ile Madame, where the doyenne of the gathering was the delightful Dolores Boudreau, singing with Celeste and Weldon Boudreau, none of them related. And this is Vieille Rustique.
Mon père aussi m'a
mer n'avec moi d'enfant, n'avec moi d'enfant, la destinée, la rose au bois, n'avec moi d'enfant.
Spectacular stuff. Les Boudreaux, Dolores and Friends. And that brings us to the end of World on Three for tonight. Thanks again to Alash and Sean Quirk for a phenomenal session. Luke Bellmason's tweet has it quite right. Out of this world. And you can judge for yourselves tomorrow or tonight, later on tonight, if you're anywhere in the Bath region. The final gig in that mammoth tour is at the Westin Studio at the ICIA. Thanks also, of course, to Andy Kershaw, to James Birtwistle and Andrew Smiley in the studio, Martin Webb and producer Roger Short as ever. I'm Marianne Kennedy and I leave you with former World on Three guests, the husband and wife combo of Faris and Jason Romero, and this is from their brand new album. This is Time to Time. Good night. Thank you.
grassy ground, with horses and the cattle grazing all around. My feet's in the stirrup, my bridle's in my hand. Goodbye, my little Annie, I'm leaving Cheyenne. Pain, oh pain, I'm leaving Cheyenne. Goodbye, oh pain, I'm leaving Cheyenne. Paints a good pony, she paces when she can.
From Horsefly, British Columbia, that was Jason and Faris Romero, and Goodbye Old Paint from their new release, A Wonder I'll Stay. On 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio, this is BBC Radio 3. It's 1 o'clock.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. Flute-playing conductors or directors seem to be more common these days. Thierry Fischer, Alexei Kossenko, to name but two, and this one, the Spaniard Jaime Martin. In this concert from last February in Stockholm, he's both soloist and or conductor of the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra in a flute concerto by Chaminade, Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony. And here, first of all, Mozart's D major flute concerto. It's actually Mozart's oboe concerto, which he later on made a version of for the flute. And if the flute was famously not Mozart's favourite instrument, well, the flute he knew wasn't the one we know today.
Thank you.
Thank you.